Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Done great works. You are just good at what you do. But he never addressed Jesus for who he is. And you have some people right now who have a problem with Jesus. But one day, that same Jesus that you're having a problem with, you're going to have to kneel before him. So look, he says, he comes to him and he says, good master, good master, good master, good master. He addressed him wrong. Yes. Number one, he addressed him wrong. He says, good master. And watch, Jesus is going to touch that subject later on in the text. But then number two, look what he says, verse 16. What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Not only did he have the wrong idea about the Savior, but he had the wrong idea about salvation itself. Because he based salvation on something he needs to do. What can I do? What good thing can I do that I may have this eternal life that you are preaching about? And for some of us, we believe salvation is based on works, birthright, denomination. Salvation, and write this down in your notes, watch this. Salvation is not about do. Salvation is about done. Salvation is already done. Jesus have already died on the cross. So salvation is already offered. You don't have to do anything to make salvation come into play. Salvation is already available. The only thing you have to do is receive Jesus Christ. But he believed that he has to do some great work outside of accepting Jesus. The only way for salvation to be yours, you must accept Jesus. Look what he said. If you look at very carefully, he was trying to find other avenues to get what was being offered besides through Christ. And so many of us think that our good works is going to get us in. I don't have to love you, but I'm just going to do good works. I don't have to really trust God. I don't have to meditate on his word. I don't have to give unto the Lord. I just need to show up at church. Yeah. I want you to come to church. I want the house to pack out. But I do not want you to leave to think that that's all you have to do. The Pharisees went to church. The Sadducees went to church. But then Jesus said, oh, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And it's sad that if your name is on the church roll, but it's not in the Lamb's book of life. So he had the wrong ideal about salvation. The Bible says that in Acts 16 and 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy whole house. But then Ephesians 2, 8, 9 said, for by the grace of God, ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what that means? That you can't come to church bragging about how what you've been done and how long you've been doing it. But he said, it's not of your works. It is by the grace of God. And grace is an unmerited gift. Salvation is something we really don't deserve. But he gave it to us because he loved us. Is there anybody can testify and say, here, preacher, I'm only here by the grace of God. If it had not been for God's grace, I've been dead, sleeping in my grave, still lost somewhere, lying in the ditch. But I realized that I made it by the grace of God. I didn't have a dime in my pocket, but I still made it. Friends walked off and left me, but I still made it. Got fired from my job, but I still made it. Didn't know how I was gonna eat my next meal, but I still made it. My kids are going haywire, but I'm still making it. Aren't you glad you're still here? Busted and disgusted, but you're still here. Heart's been broken, but you're still here. And you want to know why you're still here? It was by the grace God. He says, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? Remember, I told you Jesus is going to address the issue. Now watch, he's going to prove to you in the text that he was not calling him by his messianic title as him being the Messiah. Jesus in verse 17, he said unto him, first of all, before I say anything to you, why you called me good? If you think I'm just a mere man, then why will you tag goodness on me? But watch this. Watch this, Reverend. Watch these preachers. Watch how Jesus turns this thing around and put it right back to itself. Watch this in verse 17. He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That's God. Y'all miss it. He said, you think I'm just a man, and you got nerve enough to tag goodness to a mere man. He said, there is none good but one, and that is God. Jesus was still calling himself good, but not by his standards. He said, I'm good, but not by your standards. You just want to call me good because you want something from me. But see, even if I don't give you nothing, I'm still good. How many can testify and say, God ain't blessed me in a while, but he's still good. I haven't had a financial blessing in a while, but he's still good. I'm still driving the same old salopy, but he's still good. Still living in the same old shotgun house, but he's still good. Still wearing hand-me-downs, but he's still good. Preacher, I disagree with you. If God is good, you shouldn't wear hand-me-downs. If God is good, you should be driving the best car. If God is good, you should have the best job. If God is good, you should have much money in your bank account. I don't limit God's goodness to material things because Satan can give me these things. I take God's goodness when I have joy in the midst of my sorrow. I've got a peace of mind when I lay down at night. I got a peace of mind when I wake up in the morning. And matter of fact, the reason why I know God good, he woke me up this morning. I see you here, so I'm not the only one he woke up. You ought to say he's good. Jesus said, if you just think I'm just a mere man, then why callest thou me good? He said, there's no one good but God himself. Then Jesus began to address his issue. Watch this. He says, there is none but God. If thou would enter into life, he says, keep his commandments. And look at this little arrogant young rich boy talking to the Savior And he and Savior said, if you just obey the command, he, oh, which one?
My Lord, come on, Pastor.
Tyrone, watch how God, watch how Jesus fixed this thing. That's why you got to be very careful how you talk to Christ. Because, baby, he's already 450,000 steps ahead of you. Watch this, watch this. Now, I don't know where that figure came from. It just came. Amen. Watch this. Jesus, verse 18, watch it with me. He said, which? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy mother and thy father. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And look at him. That's all. Norman said unto him in verse 20, all these things I have kept from my youth up. Look at his arrogance. What I lack. Don't you know you got some what I lack people? Think they just got it all together. That we shouldn't follow Jesus but follow them. Watch this. He says, I got all this together, man. I got it. What shall I lack? What is it that I'm lacking? But you notice, go back and read what Jesus did. He only named the commandments that shows on the outside. He didn't talk about what should be going on the inside. Thou shalt have no other God before me, but the heavens above, or the earth and the beneath, and any engraven image, money, anything. Jesus didn't tell him nothing about that. But watch this. He said, what lack? So write this down. The third reason you can miss Christ, when you have a refusal to acknowledge your sins. He thought he had it all together. He says, all these things I have kept. And that's a lie right there. There is no member from the pulpit to the back door can stand in here and say you have obeyed all 10 commandments. If you did, you just broke one. You lied.
All right. Come on, Pastor.
Oh, I ain't heard. I want that to just sit and simmer. When you have a refusal to acknowledge your sins, salvation is always accompanied by a conviction of sin. To be saved, watch this, one must have a conviction of sins. John 6:44 says, no man come to me except the Father which he have sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then it says in 16 and 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and the righteousness and the judgment. So there must be a conviction and a confession of sins upon salvation. And then 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So first of all, you got to admit your sin. Secondly, you got to confess that sin to God. And then he is faithful and just to cleanse you of your sin. But for you perfect people in here, you sinless people in here, this may not apply to you because you, like the young man, you got it all together. But I want to talk to somebody like me who falls short every now and again, who do things you know you shouldn't do every now and again, say things you know you shouldn't say every now and again. Isn't it good to know that you got a God on your side who will not condemn you for your wrong? He'll convict you of your wrong, but he'll clean you up the same time. How many can say I'm good when I know I've been cleaned up by God? And see, some of you want to get out of the washing machine too quick. But see, I want to stay in there. Why? Sometimes God got to put me on another cycle. Because I come out, I still got a few stains on me. He got to keep me in there for another cycle. And he can't wash me in cold wash. I got to get in some hot water. Is there anybody can testify and say, I got in some hot water, but I came out cleaner than when I went in? Every now and then, he has to put you in hot water.
Yes, sir.
when there is a refusal to acknowledge your sins, you will miss Jesus. He says, these things I kept, I've got this together, and if this all that is required, I'm ready to walk in. Jesus said in the text, hold up. I ain't through yet. Now watch this. Jesus is going to get ready to throw his own words against him. So in verse 20, he said, I got it together. All this, all that do I, what do I lack? Jesus said, now watch how Jesus opened up the next statement. He said unto him in verse 21, well, if thou be perfect, then you shouldn't have no problem with the next thing I have for you to do. Y'all just missed it. When you walking around and thinking you perfect, then God is going to touch you where it really hurts. See, the best thing for you to do with God is to tell God, I have not arrived yet. But once you told God, I have arrived, God, well, since you said that, let me prove it to you. Remember at the supper when Jesus said, one of you will betray me and deny me? Peter, John, everybody else just asked the question, Lord, is it I? Lord, please, don't tell me it's going to be. No, Peter opened up his mouth. I can't speak for the rest of these boys, but Lord, I'll die for you. Jesus said, well, since you think, I'm going to give you the opportunity to die for me. But he denied him three times. But here's the good news about that. Even if we break our promise to God, when he got up on the third day morning, and when he told the women at the tomb, he said, go get my disciples and Peter. Y'all missed him. Peter denied him three times. But when Jesus got up, he just said, my disciples, but he called Peter by name. Y'all miss it. It's good to know the Lord knows your name. And he already knows your shortcomings. He already knows what you've done even before you did it. But yet I serve a God who's just that powerful. Anybody can know, anybody can testify and say, he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. Jesus says, well, since you think you're perfect. Otherwise, Jesus was saying, usually I wouldn't do this. I'll just pull you on into the fold. But since you say you're not lacking anything, he says, do me a favor. If that be perfect, verse 21, he says, sell all thy heads. Now, if Jesus would have put a period there, he would have been happy about that because he would have gotten the proceeds from everything that he sold. But that's not a period. That's a comma. That means it's just a pause, but the story continues. See, we have mistaken a pause for a period. You think the story is over, but I'm just on pause. Because what's coming after the comma is greater than what was before the comma. And look what he says. He says, now, sell all you have. Then he said, what I want you to do then, give it to the poor. He said, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Write this down. Not only we have the wrong ideas about the saving, the wrong idea about the salvation, and we have a refusal to acknowledge our sins, but then fourthly and finally, you hold too tight to your stuff. You ever heard the term tight-fisted? You hold too tight. God didn't bless you to hold tight. He blessed you to let it go. Do you believe that God can only bless you once? Watch this. When he heard that, The Bible says he walked away sorrowful, as to indicate to Jesus, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. He had great, the Bible put emphasis on that, for he had great possessions. And you know what that means? The possessions possessed him, and he didn't possess the possessions. You know, I can stand here with confidence and tell you that I'm not jumping off no bridge because I lose a car, home, or job. Now, I'm not saying you won't. I can only speak for me. I won't. Because I have been through worse than that. And no material possession, no sin, no pleasure, no indulgence is worth going to hell over. You are not worth going to hell over. I'm not going to go to hell just to be your friend. I'm not going to tag along with you when I know you're doing wrong. I'm not going to tag along with you when you have the wrong ideas about worship and praise. I told y'all, this is a new year. You might have to change pews. If people on your pew been holding you down in worship, then look, there's room all over the church. You got to realize that God just don't touch you on the pew you're sitting. He's everywhere at the same time. Mark 8 and 37 says this. Oh, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The rich man said, I just tear down my barns. I build me more barns. But God said, oh, thou fool, this night thy soul required of thee. Don't hold on to it too long. And you know, I saved this part of the sermon for last on purpose. Stop holding on to your tithe. Don't hold on to something that belongs to God already. Oh, I know, look at everybody. Oh, you heard me. I didn't speak in no foreign language. Now, come on, you was up shouting a minute ago. You ought to shout now. He said the 10% belong to me. And what are you holding on to it for? You don't trust me enough? You don't think I can come through for you? You don't think I can touch your creditors and you won't have to pay a dime this month? You don't think I can touch somebody to bless you? You trust man? You trust the Indians, but you don't trust me? I'm the one that wakes you up in the morning. I'm the one that carry you throughout the day. I'm the one that feeds you when you're hungry. I'm the one that clothes you when you're naked. I'm the one that keep on blessing you over and over and over again. I just asked you for 10% and you don't trust me? Let it go. Trust him. See, everybody in this church should have been on their feet, yes, praising the Lord when I asked you to trust God. That's showing me right there you really don't trust him. Because if you really trust God, I'll stand on my feet without a dime in my pocket. I'll stand on my feet and give God praise and glory because I'm going to give it. And see, let me tell you something. Yeah, I'm going to dispense with the foolishness when it comes to giving. I ain't giving to the church because I don't know where it's going. You didn't ask the owner of the casino that. You ain't asked the people in Walmart that. When you got your hair done, you didn't ask her that. But when it comes to God, you got to know where everything is going. Baby, God has been too good to you for you to sit here and analyze God. I'm not going to even hoop you this morning because I want that to sit. You got to understand when it comes to how good God has been to you. Watch this. I'm going to end on this and we're going to go home. Watch this. Look what Jesus says. When he walked away, Jesus says in verse 23, and I want you to hear this. Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't think your giving to God don't mean anything, Jesus says when you hold on to it, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Now, let me educate you. An eye of a needle was not like a needle that you thread. When you entered into certain villages, it had a circular entrance as the form of a needle. A camel could not go into the needle because it had humps on his back. So the camel had to stay outside, but the rider can go in. But Jesus said it'll be easier for me to push that camel through that eye of that needle than the rich man to get in. Now, he didn't say that it's a sin to be rich, because Job was rich. But what he is saying is it's a sin when you hold on to your stuff so tight and you don't trust me. Now, when somebody get caught in the act of adultery in the church, we want to put them out. When somebody get caught sinning here, doing this, we want to put them out. If you see your pastor standing on the street corner drunk, you want to have a meeting and put him out, because the Bible said it. But the same Bible you quoted tells you to give unto God, but you want to overlook that. You can't point out one sin and leave the other one alone. Because let me tell you something, when you trust God, you're giving God your all. God, I got my bills due, but I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust you. But can I leave you on this note, Mount Zion? You can search this book. And in Malachi chapter 3 is the only verse where God says, try me. If you don't think I can do it, then you try me. If you don't think I can bless you, then you try me. If you don't think I can heal you, then you try me. If you don't think I can talk to your creditors and make things right, then you try me. If you think I can give you another car if this has been repossessed, then you try me. I know you got an eviction notice, but you don't think I can keep a shelter over your head? You just try me. Stand on your feet this morning and say, I'm going to try God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe in God, because I know he will make a way. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. He's available. He's available for you. And I want to tell you this morning, it'll be a sad sin and a shame to miss Jesus. And he's been here for you all along. The doors of the church are open. Don't miss him. In your life, in your service. But let me, before the choir plays softly, let me tell you this. Even though I would place you to give unto the Lord, but you've got to give yourself first before you give your tithe. You can pay tithe every Sunday, and if you have never given yourself, it is all in vain. You've got to give yourself unto him first. And that's what this opportunity is for right now, for you to come and give yourself unto the Lord. Let us stand.
You have been listening to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr., pastor. We invite you to come and experience the change at our church, located at 11th, 16th, and Day Street here in Alexandria. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you by calling the church at 318-448-1604. That's 318-448-1604. We invite you to tune in again next week at this same time for the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
Does anybody want the Lord to make him over? Just begin to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.